in a moment, we're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 12. And this morning, Joel came and spoke to the group and did an excellent job. In fact, I think it would be a good thing to share with our whole church. But it was interesting. He had us open the Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. And I thought, he's going to steal my sermon. Well, he didn't steal my sermon, but he used that verse to get us going in the right direction. But we're going to look in that Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, really in verses 1, 2, and 3 is what we're going to do. Now, before we look at the verses, would you not agree with me that life, this thing we call life, as we live our life, this would be true of everybody, life has its twist and its turns and its disappointments that from time to time tempt us to want to just give up. Could I have an amen to that? It is so true for everybody. Now, you may already have been there. You may be at one of those twists or turns or times in your life that you feel like just giving up now. But here's what we know. If Jesus tarries, out there somewhere, all of us will have that temptation that, you know, this happens, that happens, this other thing happens, and there's just like this temptation just to throw your hands up in there and say, I just give up. I don't think the whole thing is going to pan out, going to work out. And we know those temptations come from the devil, but nonetheless, I can think of times in my life where I've just thought, my gracious, you know, maybe it's just not worth the deal. Well, we all kind of go through that. In fact, Jesus himself told us this would be life in this life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. Now, he went on to say, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I know the B part of that verse, but that first part of that verse, I am encouraged. I guess misery likes company, to know that Jesus knew we'd need to hear that because he spoke that long ago. He spoke that even on the night of his betrayal. He was talking to his disciples. He said to them, he wasn't thinking about himself. He said, you need to understand something, guys. In this world, you're going to have some things happen. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Now, I'm not sure they understood the A part of that or the B part of that. And sometimes I'm not sure I understand either part of that. But nonetheless, look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. And let us just begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, now remember this, I know this is not a Bible study time, but we need to study the Bible when we come to church. Anytime you see the word therefore, it's kind of a connection word to what has previously been said. I'll be back to that in just a moment. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what this is, he's writing to believers, and he said, now, he needs to understand something. You're just surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Now, who is this? Who does this refer to? It refers to the deceased saints of God that have been mentioned back in chapter 11. If you take that, we won't read the whole chapter, obviously, but if you go back to chapter 11, for example, verse 4, by faith Abel, verse 5, by faith Enoch, verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith of Abraham. And it just goes right on down through this chapter. Many call Hebrews chapter 11 the honor roll of faith. It lists these numbers of people that really did what they did by faith. Many times they couldn't see the promise. They couldn't see the blessing. By faith they did that. So he's talking about these deceased saints that are up in heaven. Now, they're not in heaven as spectators. You know, I've heard that explained, right and wrong. The last thing we want to think is that when people go to heaven, that they're looking down on earth cheering for us. I can't imagine such a thing as that. That's not at all what it's talking about. They're not spectators in heaven watching you and me. No. What they are, instead of being spectators in heaven looking down, which they're not, they are examples to you and to me to look up. They become examples to us that when we feel like giving up, when we're tempted to give up, we go back and look at them. We're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses that have done that. And then in our life, we would think of others that we've watched journey through life and remain faithful no matter what has come into life. And they too will be with the Lord, not looking down to see how we're doing. But we look up and are motivated by their not giving up. So that's what it's talking about. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. It said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, if you underline your Bible, this next little phrase, this is what we want to think about tonight. He said, the writer said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So that little phrase, let us run with endurance. Now, this whole idea, this athletic idea of running, it's a metaphor in the New Testament, especially for the Christian life. It's talking about let us live our Christian life with endurance, is what it's saying. Endurance means literally the determination to keep going rather than be tempted to throw your hands up and say, I give up. That's the whole idea. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, the question is, how do we do that? Of course, as we read on in the verse, we're going to deal with it. I'll read it and we'll come back quickly. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then let's add verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So the question comes, you know, you're going through life, and here's a twist, and here's a turn, and here's a disappointment. Here's a prayer that doesn't get answered. Here's something that doesn't work out like you thought it was going to work out. Here's something that comes, you just thought, well, man, thing like that will never come to me or to my family. Boom, here this thing comes. The question is, how do we run a race? What is the motivation to do what the Scripture is telling us to do here? The motivation that we keep going when we're tempted to give up. Now, if you'll take your bulletin, we'll just fill it in very, very quickly, and then I think it'll mean something very special for us. Number one, when you're tempted in life just to give up, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, look with me, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author very simply means the originator. And the finisher means the completer. Jesus originates, he completes. What are we to do? We're to look unto him. Now this word look is a very, very important word. It means that we look away from everything else and we focus our eyes on him. So we're in life. And maybe it's a person, maybe it's a problem, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's something here, what it might be. What it's saying is you look away from all this other, which is the opposite of what we do in the flesh. If somebody is a problem to us, we tend to, whether we visibly look with our eyes or not, with our brain that goes that way, or our situation, if we're not careful, we just zero in on that situation. But what the writer here is saying is, no, you look away from everything except the thing that you're looking to. Well, now, what are we looking to? Well, it's not a thing, it's a person. And his name is Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I'm going to mention, just in the little time we have quick, three things that will help you do that. We're out here in life, and we feel this old temptation to just say, man, I don't know. I think I'm about to give up on this whole deal. What can we do? What is the motivation? Well, the motivation is to keep our eyes focused on you. You look up. And then we're motivated by the faith of those who've done that, this great cloud of witnesses. They are our examples. I can think of many people that now are with the Lord, that when I'm going through this or that or yonder, I think back of their name just comes to my mind. I see them as though they're standing in front of me, and I think, man, I saw him handle that, or I saw her handle that. It's a great motivation. Now, what are some things we can do to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus? Well, number one, and I wish you'd consider these three. Number one, read your Bible daily. You said, I figured you was going to say that. I really believe this. I think it'll be it's the hardest thing you do in the Christian life is consistently, daily, read your Bible. Not just I'm for these Bible plans, but don't let the plan be something that causes you just to say, well, I've got to read this and I've got to read. No. We need maybe a plan to help us, go in the right direction. But think about what you're reading. And Satan knows the power of God's Word. He really does. And so many times when I'm going through something difficult or hard, it's just like, I want to say out of nowhere, but it's not out of nowhere. It's out of heaven from God's Word. Some verse will just pop in my mind. I thought, whew, man, that's exactly what. So this is the value of reading your Bible daily. Now, it's January. And if you're not started, I wish you'd just say, okay, pick up one of those plans or get some other plan. The important thing is every day, don't just read black ink on white paper. Think about what you're reading and think about how it applies to your life and appropriate to your life. Number two, I want to encourage you, get a life verse. Get a life verse. Now, you say, what are you talking about? Well, maybe I could say it in a simple way if you don't already have a life verse. Maybe just a verse that you think is something that would help you maybe in 2020. Now, my life verse until this January, since September of 2014, has been Psalm 16, verse 8. In the NIV, I memorized that verse in NIV because I ran across it in NIV. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. And actually, we were on vacation at Lake Tahoe, and we were out on the beach part there. And I'm just reading my Bible. I wasn't looking for a life verse. I'm just reading my Bible, and that verse gripped me, and I've continue to let that be my life verse. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him, my hand not be shaken. Now, about a month ago, just in my Bible reading, not thinking about a life verse, a verse popped up at me that said, you need to change your life verse. And I thought about that a day or two, and I changed my life verse to Psalm 86, verse 12, I think. Let me look over here. I don't want to stand up here, and maybe the verse I've just quoted won't be the right text, but let me go back to Psalm 86. I think it's verse 12. I've learned the verse. Now I forgot where it is. It's Psalm 86, verse 12. I'm right on target. It says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Now, why that verse jumped up at me, it's a great verse. It's a little bit hard to memorize in my previous one, but that's just kind of my life verse. Now, I encourage you, don't get your Bible and start hunting a life verse. Let, as you read your Bible, just say, Holy Spirit, now if I run across a verse, it may be March or April before some verse grips you, but I think it's great to have a verse that you're just going to hang on to. And that verse, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. That is what I want to do in 2020. I just encourage you to land on a life verse. And then number three, memorize scripture. And the devil will tell us when we get a certain age, we can't memorize. He is a liar. I think it would be truer to say, maybe it's a little harder to memorize. Like I had the verse memorized and I couldn't remember what Psalm 86, verse 12 or 11 or what it was. Well, I'll work that out. But if you just memorize a verse a week and really had that verse nailed down, like you do the ABCs, the multiplication tables, like we know these things just by memory. We've said them all of our life. a verse a week? Well, that'd be 52 verses committed to memory in a year, a verse a week. And what it does, you just build up an arsenal of the Word of God. And you probably are memorizing verses that you might not even need at that moment. But here's the deal. If you have them already in your mind, when you need them, they're what? They are there. So, how are we going to not give up when we're tempted? We're going to fix eyes on Jesus. And quickly, number two, when we're tempted to give up, keep your view on the end of the race. Keep your view on the end of the race. This is what Jesus did in our Hebrew scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew where the race ended. So do you. So do I. All of us do. And so we need to keep our view on the end of Scripture. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, they came to arrest him. You remember, we learned over in the Gospel of John, it was Simon Peter. The other gospel writers just say a disciple. John's gospel says it was Simon Peter. He pulled out his sword and did what? Whacked the guy's ear off. You remember what Jesus told that guy? He told old Simon Peter, he said, Peter, put your sword back up. He said, you know what, Peter? If I wanted to, I could call six legions of angels. Now, a legion was 6,000 Roman troops, so that'd be 72,000. Now, Jesus said, look, Peter, put your sword up. If I wanted to, I could get 72,000. Angels to come and stop this whole thing. But see, his eyes were fixed on the end of the race. And boy, that is a great, great help. I want you to turn back real quick in Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you two verses. The Apostle Paul did that. In Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 20, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Folks, that's the end of the race. And sometimes, you know, as we go in life, man alive, listen, folks, the end is going to be the best. Could I have an amen to that? The end is going to be the best. I ran across a quote from Corrie Ten Boom, who was used to help keep untold numbers of Jews from being killed in the Holocaust. But she said a very interesting thing that I thought fit here. She said, you know, when you ride a train that goes through a tunnel, it gets dark. But she said, just because you're in a tunnel, in a train, and now it's pitch dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. You sit and trust the engineer. And when I read that, I thought, you know what? There's an old song. Jimmy, I started to see if we could sing it, but nobody would know it. Probably you would. But there's an old song, and sometime I'll tell when I first heard it. But life is like a mountain railroad. Yeah, and one little part of that song says, you know, You put your hand on the throttle and you keep your eyes on the tracks. So as we launch out into this new year, only God knows what all is going to happen to you or to us. That's all in God's business. But here's what we need to do. We don't need to throw away the ticket and jump off the train. What we need to do is just sit still and trust the engineer. And our engineer is God. Could I have an amen to that? If we'll just put our hand on the throttle and keep our eyes on the tracks, the end of the race is the motivation that keeps us going. Now, I want to lead in a little prayer, and then we're going to praise the Lord, and then we're going to have some time for prayer. But Father God, I do pray here as we begin our new year, God. And Lord, not any of us, no, we may have ideas about this, that, and yonder, but we really don't know what's in store for us this year. But God, our citizenship's not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where this race ends. And in the meantime, God, when we have that old temptation to throw in the towel, to give up, to quit, first, God, remind us that comes from the devil. But God, the way to not do that is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking away from everything else, looking only at Him. And then, God, remember who our God is. And if we'll just trust You and wait, it's all going to work out better than we've ever imagined. I thank You for that in Jesus' name.